Blog Talk Radio.
Like the folks you meet on, like to plant my feet on the Brooklyn Bridge. What a lovely view from heaven looks at you from the Brooklyn Bridge. I love to listen to the wind through her strings, the song that she sings for the town. I love to look up at the clouds in her hair. She's learned to wear like a crown. If you've been a rover, journey's end lies over the Brooklyn Bridge. Don't let no one tell you, I've been trying to sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. All the folks in Manhattan are sad, 'cause they look at her and wish they had the good old Brooklyn. You've been a rover, journey's end lies over the Brooklyn Bridge. Don't let no one tell you that I've been trying to sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. You'll miss her most when you roam, 'cause you'll think of her and think of home, the good old Brooklyn.
Hey, welcome to How's New York with Brooklyn real estate attorney Robert Howe. Tonight is one of our legal topics episodes. We're going to be talking about commercial property closings. And now here's our host, Robert Howe.
Well, welcome, everyone, to How's New York. I'm your host again, Robert Howe, and we're talking about a multitude of topics, including real estate, community politics, and any hot topics of the day. We're broadcasting from an undisclosed location in Brooklyn, New York, to a potential audience stretching from Longyearbyen, Norway, to Ushuaia, Tierra del Fuego, thanks to the power of Blog Talk Radio. I'm here with my executive producer, Jason Versace of Rising Tide Marketing. And tonight we have our legal topic show, and tonight's legal topic will be, commercial contracts and the purchase of commercial property. And that was a topic that Jason dug up for us, and I'm wondering, Jason, what's on your mind with regard to commercial properties and contracts of sale?
Well, we've done shows where we've had some commercial brokers on the show to give us their, market reports, and we've done shows and videos on all the steps that lead up to a closing for a residential property. But I got to thinking, how does it differ, and does it differ in what ways for a commercial closing? A lot of people may be starting their own business, doing startups, and may never have bought a commercial property. So I was wondering what constitutes a commercial property, and how does that differ from a residential property?
Well, I often liken commercial and residential to the difference between marine grade quality and regular standard quality. In other words, for those people who may have some experience owning a boat or having something on or near water, you need a special type of a nut or bolt or tool whenever you start working around water and salt water and corrosion and strength and complexity. And that's called marine grade quality. And generally, marine grade quality costs and is involved, costs much more than the standard screwdriver or nut or bolt that you could buy in a hardware store. And similar analogy, it might be the same thing, might do the same function, screw a screw, bolt a bolt. But once you tag on that, the term marine grade, it just elevates the complexity and the cost of everything. So similar analogy applies to commercial versus residential. The types of properties that one might think of as commercial, sometimes, you know, the ones that probably pop out initially are the big buildings, the warehouses, the factories. Here in Sunset Park, you have Industry City, acres of huge factory buildings. If you drive along, say, the Jersey Turnpike in certain parts, you'll see warehouses, storage facilities on either side of the highways. A lot of places, to Brooklynites, we think of apartment buildings. They are known as, they're considered commercial properties. And commercial properties even go down to the level of the store and one or two family over that you might see on like a 3rd Avenue or 5th Avenue in the Bay Ridge section of Brooklyn. So those are all types of commercial properties. Residential, just as a reminder, generally there are three: co-ops, condos, and houses. And so that delineates the difference between the two. And the differences, start from there. There are some financing considerations when buying a commercial property versus a residential property. When you go into a lender and ask for a loan, the first question out of their mouths are, is it for a house or a commercial property? And once you say commercial property, a whole load of considerations, will follow. One of them, or let's contrast that for a moment against, if you say residential, then the requirements are substantially less costly, less onerous, less intrusive. But commercial properties generally involve the lender looking at a commercial property, saying, how much will this property in rent? Whereas with a house or co-op or condo, the lender is saying, how much does the owner earn on a monthly basis in order to carry the house, the mortgage, the insurance, the real estate taxes, the water, the upkeep, etc. In a residential setting, it's how much the individual is earning, whereas in a commercial setting, it's how much rent will the property spin off. Of course, in a commercial setting, they're also concerned that the people who are buying it have fairly substantial, assets and credit ratings. But the big factor is the rent. If the rent can hit a certain multiple, then chances are, you will get the loan. Another financing consideration, commercial versus residential. In commercial, generally, commercial properties are purchased not in individual names. They're purchased in LLCs, they're purchased as corporations, and we all know that corporations and LLCs, the purpose of them, aside from tax purposes, is to shield individual owners from personal liability. God forbid something happens to the property. And the landlord or the lender, I'm sorry, knows this also, that the shielding of the individual, and they don't like that. So they don't, a lender doesn't mind lending to a corporation or an LLC, provided that they get personal guarantees from some real individuals in the event the corporation decides not to, you know, fulfill their obligation to pay, you know, the loan back. In the residential setting, you usually purchase and borrow in individual names. It's not too often that a husband and wife or brother and sister or, you know, related people buy a property in a corporate or an LLC name. More likely they buy it in their individual names. So that, so when they go to sign their loan documents, they are signing personally. So that's a pretty big deal between, you know, the two types of entities, you know, borrowing and buying. Generally also with commercial loans, interest rates tend to be higher. Why? A little riskier. In the residential setting, maybe there's a philosophy or a feeling that the individual homeowner has more of a stake in their property. They have to live there. They have to provide for their provide shelter for their family. So they will generally give a little bit of a break in knowing that the individual homeowner probably has a stake in their property. Contrast that with the commercial situation. Maybe a commercial owner may not have the same type of stake, personal stake, in the property. Things start going bad. You know, they probably don't have that personal feeling to hang in there as the ship is sinking. So that's reflected in generally higher interest rates for commercial, and right now, at least for the individual, the residential interest rates are at at historic lows. 3.5 and sometimes, you know, below that. Another delineation between commercial and residential lending is, with, of course, with commercial lending, it's more complicated. You generally end up signing or more financing docs are drafted. The bank is trying to think of every which way to tie the corporation down. They're looking to tie the individual down through personal guarantees, and they're also trying to make sure that they can grab on or latch on to any rent that may be spun off if financial difficulties arise. So they don't want to be in a situation where the borrower is defaulting but still collecting the rent at the same time. Conversely, in a residential, typically it's one or two family homes, and the owner, once again, has more stake in the property, less likely to walk away, and there's really not a heck of a lot of income being spun off, although in some multifamilies, you know, the bank will also ask that in the event of a default that that whatever rent is spun off could be collected by them. So there's a whole slew of documents that you would sign if you're a commercial borrower. The stack could be a couple inches high. Residential borrowers, smaller stack of papers. Probably the two important papers in the residential is the note and the mortgage, whereas in a commercial setting you would have the note, the mortgage, some security agreements against any fixtures in the building, some personal guarantees, and also assignment of leases and rents so that the lender can start collecting the rents in the event of a default. And then, at least to conclude our discussion on financing considerations, is the government involved in either the residential or the commercial? Well, in the commercial setting, the government really is not involved. So lenders and borrowers can pretty much make whatever deal they want. Very little government oversight in the commercial setting. Contrast that with the residential setting. You know, we had the mortgage meltdown. They were giving money away in the 2000s. like it was water. You only needed a heartbeat to be able to borrow money, and they gave it to you. Of course, we found out in 2007, 2008 that a heartbeat wasn't enough to pay back the loans. So consequently, the pendulum swung. Government got involved, highly regulated in terms of underwriting requirements, who can qualify for a loan, and all of those restrictions do not apply in the commercial sector. So, Jason, let me ask you this: What do you think about any distinctions you might see or know about when it comes to environmental considerations? You've probably been involved with home purchases or co-op purchases, or friends of yours have. What might be some considerations that an individual, a residential purchaser might have? And then I'll contrast it, with what commercial owners may have.
Well, with the home, you've got the you obviously want to get it inspected prior to a purchase. You want to have home inspector come in there and check the strut, that the structure is sound, that there's no issues and termites. And even with a co-op or a condo, you probably want to make sure your attorney checks out that the building is sound and sound shape, but not only that the financials are solid. So the overall health of the building. With regard to commercial, I don't know what you might do any type of background.
Well, there is much more scrutiny in the commercial side. At least to conclude our discussion on the residential side, there is once again a little commercial government regulation that there be a lead paint disclosure in a residential contract to make sure that the homeowner has been made aware that they do have a right to have a lead-based paint test done. And there's also the property disclosure requirement. Once again, this is a government regulation which basically says a seller has to answer a questionnaire about the condition of the property and give that to the buyer. And if the seller elects not to do that, to give a $500 credit. So it's just about every closing for residents, you will hear at some point, I'm giving you the $500 disclosure credit. And what that does, that prevents the seller from having any liability in the event he or she misrepresented anything about the condition of the property. You might also, maybe not in the New York City area, but outside where you have wells, you have septics, and you may have radon, you'll also do searches, for those. So all of those, termites, lead-based paint, disclosure credit, well, septic, and radon checks are generally the things you probably want to do on the residential side. Conversely, on the commercial side, a lot of commercial buildings manufactured things, and there was probably waste as a result of the manufacturing process. And the question is, well, what did they do with the waste? Did they bury it on the property? Did they put it in a stream next to them? Did they put it into a pond or something on the property? Or, was there some contamination of the property? And did they use oil? Did they have underground oil tanks? Or did they have any use of hydraulic oil that may have leaked or leached into the ground, contaminating the soil and maybe the groundwater underneath? So that's a big consideration, because a lot of the commercial properties, whether factory, warehouse, gas station, generally had some sort of may have had some sort of contaminated product on their premises, and over the years may have, you know, leached in, into the soil. So what happens in a commercial setting is part of the getting into contract stage is to do some due diligence, it's called, in terms of the environmental studies of the property. And there are terms phase one and phase two, and these are basically searches that will be done by environmental companies to tell you the history of the property, and maybe they would look up records and see, oh, this building, although now they're selling, you know, dry goods, clothing and fabric stuff, and everything looks nice, neat, and clean. You know, 50 years ago, it may have been a chemical factory producing some sort of, you know, toxic chemical. So they, you know, the phase one involves looking at records to see what type of properties, you know, what the property was used as. And then maybe a phase two, if required, maybe there would be some soil samples taken. And environmental is a very big deal. Your lender will also be looking at those questions and have you sign some documents talking about environmental stuff, that there is nothing, and if there is something, that is not, you know, it's not their problem. So there is a lot of environmental consideration, more so when buying a commercial property because of prior usages than there is in residential. And then finally we get to contract considerations, commercial versus residential. Well, as you can guess, you know, a commercial contract could be 40-plus pages. A residential contract, generally only about 10 pages. There's only so much language that lawyers can generate to make it any longer. But when it comes to commercial, lawyers really can generate, you know, a lot of different language. And once again, the commercial form, generally no government interference with, you know, no government interference in the type or format that a commercial contract could take. Whereas with the residential contracts, once again, we get back to that lead-based paint requirement, the disclosure, the $500 disclosure credit requirement. So there is a little bit of government involvement in the residential contracts, absent in the commercial contracts. So there you about have it, Jason, in terms of distinctions between commercial and residential. Obviously, a lot more work, a lot more consideration involved in the commercial setting, not so much in the residential setting. So if you're looking to, you know, buy some commercial property, you can engage the services of a competent real estate attorney who's, who has some familiarity with this, and do all your searches.
A disparity there with much more than I would have thought going in, that there would be that much difference in buying a commercial property versus buying a residential property, but substantial difference that you would definitely talk to the right people. You're closing. That brings us to the end of our Legal Topics episode. And once again, it's been Howes, New York, and we were talking about commercial property closing and what it means to close on a commercial property versus a residential property. And as always, Bob, why don't you take us out?
Well, thank you, Jason. This concludes tonight's radio program, our Legal Topics program, concerning commercial properties and contracts of sale, and many of the considerations that one should have when buying a commercial property. This is Howes New York signing off. God bless Brooklyn and all of its people. Wishing you a good night and a good morning and a good afternoon. I am your host, Robert Howe.
Like the folks you meet on, like to plant my feet on the Brooklyn Bridge. What a lovely view from heaven looks at you from the Brooklyn Bridge.